Thank you so much, David, for being here. Let's get into it. I know this conversation will change people's lives like it did mine.
That's my mission.
I know when I first met you, when you spoke at Aspire, I really connected when you started to speak about the grief you felt when your mom passed and the love you have of your parents and elders. And you said a lot that day about being a good person in terms of like a child to your parents and calling them. And unfortunately, 3 years ago, my mom died from pancreatic cancer, and I connected with you a lot. And I wanted to ask you, how did losing your mom maybe change the way you show up for other people that you love or the people in your business or in your life?
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I know how much and how it comes in waves. It's only been a few months.
It's really hard.
Yeah. It's only been a few months for me. And I can imagine it still comes in waves. And that's the lesson that I learned. It's how blessed I was, because I remember leaving the hospital, the hospice, when I knew my mom was going to pass. And my wife, I had a beautiful ending to our human relationship. My mom, I had recently been acknowledged with an honorary doctorate, and I got to tell my mom that I made it because she told me I was either going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. And I told her, probably, I'm all three. And she said, I'm so proud of you, especially because you're such a good failure. And I love you. And so when I left with my wife said, are you going to be okay when she passes? And I said, oh yeah, of course. My dad had passed. What a beautiful way to end our relationship here. I'll see her, you know, hopefully not too soon, but I'll see her eventually again and be a part of her spirit. And when the next morning happened and I found out,
oh, it was right away after.
Yeah, the reminder, the remembrance, and the recollection of my favorite lesson, which is you're either humble or you're about to be. And in the passing of my mom, the lesson was when she told me, when I lost everything, and I told her I didn't have any faith, that God was punishing me, I didn't believe in God. And she said, son, you believe in God. You just believe in the wrong God. It was a reminder to believe in the right God, one that I have a predisposition of surrender, a predisposition of faith in everything I do. And so that's the deciphering, distinguishing thing that I have with my faith, that my faith doesn't allow me to sit on the couch high and broke and stick on living off my mom. My faith says I am predisposed as a co-creator, commander of my universe. I'm predisposed to having faith that no matter what evidence is in my life or the evidence is contrary in my life to where I want to be, that I am protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by an all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient being that loves me, protects me, and promotes me, and perfects me more than my mom. And that humbling moment to remind myself and remember myself and recollect myself with not just my mom, but with God, and to be able to have the faith to seek the wisdom, to give the meaning of my struggles, to get me to where I want to be or better.
She knew what to say to you before, similar to like my mom, which is just crazy how they know what to say. I still, but that's really powerful.
Thank you for sharing.
I know that grief can feel like such a final separation, and many people talk about finding signs or moments of connection afterward. I know I have many of those. Have you had experiences where you felt like your angels, your mom, your dad are guiding you, or moments where they're reminding you they're still with you?
Many. I was born on January 11th at 111. My name means beloved servant. 111 is a sign of an angel. The angels are walking with and collaborating.
You're Archangel David.
That is what I have to live through and to, and hopefully in a trajectory, divine direction of. And so every day I walk with my angels, and my mom especially walks with me every day to remind me to be kind. Yeah.
If I was with you, I'd give you a hug. You've been super open about your darker chapter, gambling, drinking, losing everything. Then you had a shift in your mindset and your life began to change. Why do you think mindset is so powerful? And this is going to be advice for young professionals who may feel lost or defeated. Why do you think that helps to set the tone for where they're going?
I think mindset is the liaison between the human experience and the infinite experience that we have. And when I say that, it's the co-creation, the commandments that God gives us, the ability to work with God. So when he gives you 10 commandments, he says, work with me, guys. I'm going to give you this body. You're here to learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until you learn them. You're going to forget every lesson that there ever was, but I'm going to give you the power to command with me, to work with me, to remember me, to remind of me, to recollect with me, to be your best self by learning more lessons. And so why mindset is so critical as liaison between the human experience and this infinite experience is we are given a power in these commandments to give meaning to time. So we can give meaning to our future. We can give meaning to our present. And most importantly, we can align the meaning of the past, these dark times, these dark seasons, the failure, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances, and maybe even the successes that lack humility. We can give meaning to those to align with where we want to be or better, accelerate, aggregate, compound where we want to be or better, not interfere with it, not cast a shadow or limit our self-image or our imagination, because we'll never overachieve our own self-image. And our self-image, not to be religious, but our self-image is one of God, of infinite. And this liaison of mindset allows us to utilize the human experience from the time our heart starts till it stops to enjoy what we don't love or like about what we love.
Whoa. I feel like you've lived many lives, and hearing you talk about this and being so in tune with your spirituality is so special, because not everybody has this. Did you connect this way? And I know you wrote about it in the book, like you didn't recognize those things in yourself initially, and it came with time. Yeah.
Yeah. And also with red flags. So other people saw it in me that I didn't see, whether it would be my mom, my dad, my best friend, my wife, or Dr. Sangeeta Sahi, who literally said to me as I was traveling to India, oh my gosh, you have so much light in you, but you're blocking it. And I rolled my eyes as I always do. And now I look at my own kids when they roll their eyes at me, I say, thank you. I was acknowledging that it may be true and planting a seed into a tree that she may never have sat under. And so for me, that acknowledgement of what's inside of us, knowing we can't find outside of us what we can't seek inside of us. And so I try to get people and empower people like you to empower others to look within and to look with comfortability and confident, with ease, with gratitude, empathy, accountability, in order to live in spirit. And you nailed it. I was not aware of my great light. And now I liberate that light through vulnerability and transparency to help other people liberate their own lives as well.
I'm always like wowed by everything that you do, honestly. And because I am a powerful individual myself inside, and people ask me, well, how did you open a business? How did you know what to do? And I really think that we're conditioned from a young age. It's in there. And it's really about either finding it like you, or like me, just taking it and continuing to roll. And that actually is a great lead into the next question I had for you. What do you think are very first steps that someone can take today to start their shift toward an abundance or an opportunity that they may have but not recognize yet?
Yeah, three words. And remember, as I tell you these three words, that the simple things to do are simple not to do. I use gratitude as my example, because saying thank you takes 0.1 seconds and it's free. Everybody automatically, literally, intuitively shakes their head yes when I bring up the word gratitude. That's how simple it is. But as much as we all know that being grateful will change our life, impact everyone around us, by tonight, half of us won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, another half won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost all of us, even though it's free and takes 0.1 seconds, and everyone on earth shakes their head innately that it's the most impactful thing in life to do is to be grateful, to find, like you said, the light, the love, and the lessons in everything we do. So here's the three words that will change your life. And whether you're in the basement, or your basement has a basement, or you're trying to get back up, get started, get back started, here they are. Ask for help. It is the definition of faith. When you ask for help, you're illustrating your faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. And most importantly, when you ask for help, you're not cheating other people of the best feeling of human experience, which is to be able and capable of helping someone else. When you're able and capable of helping someone else, you feel at your highest self. You're part of the commandments. And yet we deny so many people out of a lack of humility, a lack of faith, and a lack of wisdom that the fastest way to get to where we want to be or better is to find someone who is already there, who has already paid the dummy tax, and ask them for help. That's why this podcast is so important. That's why it was so important for me to be here and to utilize humility to help other people, to share with them my dummy tax so they can get to where they want to be or better.
That's amazing. I agree. I think a lot of people want to reinvent the wheel, but it's literally like right there. So, wow. Now let's change the gears to me a little. So as a mom and a multi-7-figure entrepreneur, I know that mindset, thank you. I know that mindset, the mindset that got me here today is not the one that's going to get me to the next level. And as a parent yourself, how did you overcome the guilt and that missing presence for your family and still push for bigger goals?
Time. I am a master of man-made constructive time. Okay. I have made it part of my coincidence, the coinciding of my life. And I don't think a lot of people understand how important time is. I think once you realize that the 24 hours that we're given is increments between the time our heart starts and stops, and understanding physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics of time, and understanding how attention plus intention of what we do say, think, feel, and believe in that time equal the coincidences, the coinciding of where we want to be or better. And so for me, there are only activities of 24 hours in my day. And the biggest time lesson I've learned is to take circumstance out of my life, to take the interference of the need to feel guilty, resentful, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, all of these feelings that parents feel, and use time as it was given to us. And the more that we give of our time, the more we're given. And so for me, I create half of my life as a non-negotiable, a minimum amount of time sleeping, a minimum amount of time, 7 days a week, non-negotiable, non-circumstantial. I don't care what the interest rates are, the weather is, delays are, changes are, God's laughing at me. I don't care. Every single day, I have a minimum amount of time that I'm going to sleep. I'm going to spend on my health, on my family, on my finance, on my faith, on the study of time and the study of meaning, the study of relativity. And that equals about a minimum of 12 hours a day, with 2/3 of it being sleep. So that leaves me a prioritization, a predisposition of faith and wisdom to prioritize the other 12 hours every day that is circumstantial. So now I know that I can't get everything done that I want to get done every day. I know that I need to prioritize my day in order to get the most important things done. But I also know it doesn't really matter, because 90% of my success in the most important things, my sleep, my family, my finance, my faith, the relativity in time, and my health, are all exponential. Because 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. If you understand physics, and if you don't believe me, you're a mom. Have you ever met a kid who studies 15 minutes of Spanish every day that doesn't get an A? Why is that? There's tons of kids like me that study 15 hours on Sunday and they don't get A's. But 15 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day with your kids. I have, as you know, that's all these things. Like with my mom, I still text her on my phone every day. I have her phone number. I kept it on my plan to tell her that I am happy, I am healthy, yes, I love you, and I appreciate you forever. My kids get a message every day. I'm proud of you, I love you, and I always have your back. I have all of these things. I don't miss 7 days a week. And some people are like, oh, I got to go off the grid for 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months. I'm like, not me. I vacation every goddamn day, and I have and live my life at ease. There'd be no reason for me to go off the grid, because I'm already at ease. I'm just trying to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. And I can do that while I'm making money, while I'm spending time with my kids, while I'm working out, or while I'm praying.
You've really like figured out this balance.
Harmony, was it just like harmony, one no day balance, changed? Harmony, no balance. But
did you just like write out a schedule? And obviously you have some people maybe like aiding to make sure you get to those things.
You're hitting my heart, sweet. Oh my God. I am a student in my calendar. I have calendar captains. So I have employees.
I need that.
Yeah. I have employees.
Calendar captain.
Yeah. So Nick, who's on here with us, like Nick studies Thursdays. So he's studying, paying attention and giving intention to my calendar for four Thursdays, giving the most to next Thursday and then the next Thursday, then the next. And so he's finding there's these people that live by here. We should stop by there. Hey, here's a confirmation number. Here's a discount to this. Oh, we also could squeeze this in virtually while we're in the car driving to this. Here's the blank space, the empty space. Here we're preparing for God to laugh at us. And so I have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday captain, and a next day captain who's always studying tomorrow.
You may be the most productive person I know, I'm acquainted with.
Hopefully,
now that is motivating for me. I came from a time where I was doing so many things, and I am. That's what you do when you get to, it depends what you want. So that's what I'm doing because that's what I want. And people are like, how do you do all these things? How do you do it? But I don't do half of what you just said, probably. And I'm just learning that sweet spot in my calendar, figuring it out. But I need a captain. So thank you. I will be on the lookout for one. Have you ever reached a point where, like, you could say, this is enough? Is this the success, or is success always evolving for you?
Well, early on in life, I lived my life, I'll be happy when, and it never came. When never came. Whether it was an amount of money, a relationship, I'll be happy when, an activity, an event, I'll be happy when.
I wish my husband was here. I would like him to speak with you.
Well, he can rewatch this. In fact, I wanted to also say that for your entire community, and including your husband, if anybody would like my book, the one that Luba has read, I will sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping. I'll pay for the book. So just email me, david@dmeltzer.com, for anyone in your community, any of your friends, family, or associates, including the calendar tips are in there, david@dmeltzer.com. But to that end, as I'm losing my train of thought, you asked me,
is it an ever evolving success? Yeah, or is there some point that's more like, than this enough. Is enough?
So here's the infinite loop that I learned. For the sake of what am I doing this, so that I give more and I'm given more. I can seek and see gratitude. Your daughter's beautiful. I can seek and see gratitude, the light, the love, and the lessons for the sake of. So the more I give, the more I'm given. And the hardest thing for moms, by the way, and mompreneurs especially, is the more I receive. So I give more, I'm given more, I receive more. And then within faith, I ask for more than more because I know there's more than enough. Why though? Not I'll be happy when I have more than more, but for the sake of having more and more, I'm going to be able to give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, and ask for more than more than more. So where am I going to end up when I'm 80 years old, like my mom, with more than enough of everything for everyone? And I want to speak to all the moms out there. Stop giving more than you receive, because I promise you, that is not how you're going to be able to help all the people you want to help as moms. It's innately in your biochemistry and autonomy is to take care of others. The best way to take care of others is to take care of yourself and to receive and ask for more. Because if you give more than you receive, it's just a matter of time till you end up at zero. And right. I don't want you to end up at zero.
Wow. Moms, I hope your mind is blown. Like, go to your yoga class. Don't feel bad for anyone. They'll figure it out, right?
They'll figure it out.
I just have a few more things and we'll be wrapping up. But one of them is that I have an athletic 9-year-old son, current pitch speed around 50 miles per hour for baseball. He will play for the Philadelphia Phillies. We're in Philly. That's what he wants. Do you have advice for busy parents who want to set their kids on a bigger path for a bigger league, and where to start with that, but also prioritize schoolwork? My son doesn't love to read. He's going into fourth grade. So I've been like loading him up with books about athletes who were famous in baseball.
Yeah.
So what do you say as a dad and someone in this business are those proper methods?
There's three things, no matter what my kids do: reading, exercise, sports, school. I set an expectation. Number one, I know they don't listen to me. So under this expectation, I know that I didn't listen to my mom, and she was an incredible wise woman, but I never listened to her, but I watched her.
Okay.
So the number one thing I do is I have my kids watch me. I don't tell them that they're not taught by me. They're caught by me. They catch things by watching me and my wife. But the three things I expect from them, no matter what they want, and I have no advice on what they want, that's theirs, is that they learn to love what they don't like or love about baseball. They learn to love what they don't like or love about reading. They learn to love. And the way that you do that is the advice I give them. When they come to me and say, Dad, you know, I want to do this. Oh, good. Are you going to do your best? Are you going to learn lessons? And are you going to have fun? Are you going to learn? Because in order to have fun, it's easy to have fun with what you naturally love. It's easy to have fun when you're on the mound throwing 50 mile an hour fastballs. But, you know, majority of baseball is not being on the mound for 3-4 innings throwing 50 miles an hour as a little leaguer. It's learning to love what you don't like or love. I was an under average, below average college football player. And the greatest lesson that I took from the love of football was it forced me, because I wasn't very good, it forced me to learn to love what I didn't like or love about what I loved. And I carried that over into the activity I get paid for, into being a father, into being a husband, into doing things that I think I don't want to do, but I know that I have the capability to learn to love what I don't like or love about what I love. And I'm doing my best every day. Doesn't mean I give 100% on everything. I do my best every day according to the harmony of the day, the circumstances of the day, and the non-negotiable behavior. I'm learning lessons constantly because that's why I'm here. And I'm always finding, through gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability, the light, the love, and the lessons. And that's what I'm trying to have my kids catch from me.
And you have, I forgot, three or four kids?
Four kids. Three girls, one boy.
Oh my gosh. That's a special boy. They're all special, but one boy and three girls baby is a special
oops,
boy.
Baby Oops is Baby Miracle. So
oh, wow.
I was 42 years old.
What's that?
I was 42 and so was my wife. So it was Baby Miracle. Yeah.
My God. Bless them.
I don't know how she's still attracted to me, but I proved it.
You're capable of everything.
I'm a great salesman. I prove it every day by being married to a beautiful, unbelievable wife.
And you spoke so nicely of your wife when I heard you speak too, which was very special for me. Your book, Connected to Goodness, changed the way that I now look at manifestation and business. I always believed in it, but it did help me to see it more clearly. Do you still have spiritual practices, mentors, or gurus that are guiding you today?
Yes, yes, and yes. I am the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. Mentors, coaches, and teachers. Mentors are there to give me the directions where they already are. Teachers are the smart ones that are able to explain how to get there. And coaches bring the best out of me. And so I have teachers, mentors, and coaches. Some people have all three capabilities of helping me. And I have teams that I play on and utilize both their coaching, mentoring, and teaching and providing it to other people. Because once again, the fastest way to get to where I want to be is to find someone that's already there to give me those directions and teach me and mentor me and coach me, but also to help other people get to where they want to be. And so, yes, as Napoleon Hill Institute's chairman, and taking the seminal personal professional development of Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, people like Bob Proctor, Jack Canfield, Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Sadhguru, Master Shaw, and the list will go on and on. I'm playing on all their teams, and I know what position I'm playing so that I can get the help that I need and give the help that others need as well.
Thank you for that. There's a whole community out there of the following, and I'm a believer, and I wish, like, there's so many people that I talk to and I'm like, you have to believe it and it will come to fruition, but you have to believe it. My mom taught me from a young age, and she was into spiritual and feng shui. She did the whole thing. A nurse from the Ukraine came to America and had two kids. But she taught me that every year and every season, I take a piece of paper and I have to write down all my goals for that year. And I tell you, majority of that stuff has come true for me. I have old ones. And thank you to her, my mom, for teaching me and helping me believe in that and then connect, bringing me to this moment. So
yeah. And it's not just believing, everyone. It's doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing.
Put it out.
That's intention. What you pay attention to, you got your vision boards, whatever they look like. Give it intention. Do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where you want to be or better. It will coincide. Coincidence will occur in the universe. All the outcomes, results of my life are there or better because of this mathematical equation of luck. Pay attention, give intention equals the coincidences.
Oh my God. Brilliant. You often talk about three priorities: make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. This is a fantastic motto. When I read that, I'm like, this is for me. How can listeners align mindset, money, and impact so that they can create a life that truly feels full?
Well, once again, I use the common denominator of time, and I shift and apply my why to time. I don't look and search for
all
why.
To time.
So I'll give you two other words that has taken me about 50 years to get to some sort of semblance of awareness of. And those two words are really small words, but very powerful. I am. And so there's a huge, I am, there's a huge energy gap between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. Social media has exacerbated and amplified this energy gap, especially for our children. What I want you to do is realize that you already are your why and you need to apply it. So instead of trying to go get something you already have, tell yourself every day, I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am worthy. And let's figure out what you're doing to interfere with it. Let's apply our why to everything we do, say, think, feel, and believe. Let's apply our why to every situation, event, and person in our lives. And if you do that, I promise you, you will make a lot of money. You will help a lot of people. And you will have a lot of fun.
It's amazing. David, this was incredible. I will chat with you all day. And yeah, we should go for a sound bath or something. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, I love that.
For all those people out there listening who are ready to shift their mindset, step into abundance, find success, achieve, make impact, where can they find you and learn more?
Look, I'm easy to find. You can Google me, David Meltzer. You can chat GPT me, David Meltzer. But
definitely follow him. So much good motivation. He's always telling somebody a story from his time to what they can. It's really great, guys. It's really great.
Yeah. Oh, and just email me directly. We have a beautiful free Wednesday training with Napoleon Hill, free Friday trainings. I go live every day. I do meetups holding courts. I do, I'm on Aspire Tour. We're going to go to twice a month in January. I'm on speak three times a week. I invite everybody to everything. So email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com, and I'll send you my book. I'll pay for shipping and the book. And I'd love for you to directly connect with me, david@dmeltzer.com. Luba, thank you so much for helping
me. Thank you so much. You're so giving. And this was amazing. I hope that we helped everyone with whatever it is that they want to achieve. Thank you so much for being with me.
Bless you. Thank you.